Arizona is known for a lot of things, one of them being a big hole in the ground. But the Grand Canyon is not the only big hole in the ground that's become a tourist destination in northern Arizona. Meteor Crater near Flagstaff is the site of a meteor strike approximately 50,000 years ago, and the attraction has been a family affair for generations now. Scott Craven writes about this for the Arizona Republic and AZ Central. He's a feature reporter there, and he joins me. And Scott, let's start in the more recent past, maybe around the early 20th century. How did it come to be that Meteor Crater became a tourist destination?
And that it wasn't that whatsoever back in the early 20th century. It was more of an anomaly. The geologists at the time thought it was a steam volcano that had just blown its top and left nothing else. There were others that thought, well, wait a minute. This could be from a meteor strike, as it had been known to happen. And Daniel Moreau Beringer, who was a Philadelphia mining engineer, he was in Tucson because he had held several silver and gold mining claims out in Arizona and had amassed quite a fortune on those. He was visiting Tucson, ran into an old pal of his that knew the minerals of the state. They got into a conversation, and the gentleman said, hey, you aware of what they're finding up at this big hole up north in Arizona? And of course, Beringer had absolutely no idea. Once he was filled in, he's thinking, man, how come I have not heard of this before? Well, that set him on a completely new path. So he started to go about the process of obtaining mineral rights, which at the time was very simple and very inexpensive. So he had mining rights. He went down there with the crew around 1903, 1904 and started to dig.
He was down at the bottom of the crater.
He was at the bottom of the crater, believing that the meteor that caused this was in its original form, just sitting there waiting to be discovered. He set up a mining company. He got investors. He thought his entire future was set out. Well, as it turned out, meteorites don't stay in one piece. He had no idea that what he was digging for and what he had put all that money into was never there. He spent most of the next three decades plowing his family fortune and his pride into this big hole in the ground.
So he clearly didn't find what he was looking for, but did he recognize that this might be something that had some kind of value, even if it was a tourist kind of thing or some kind of attraction?
And that was the next step. He realized after, 10, 15, 20 years of digging that obviously that big meteorite wasn't there. But then he realized, okay, maybe it's not here, but there are still a lot of people who didn't think it was a meteor or that a meteor could vaporize and cause the kind of damage that it did. So that's where he put his efforts into next, was the scientific aspect of Meteor Crater.
Why did he keep at it there? I mean, you said that he dug for, 20 years. At some point, you would think he would just given up and said, enough of this, there's nothing here, I'm done.
I talked to his family later, and he was a very bullheaded, stubborn man. He wasn't going to quit at 20 or 30 feet. He dug and he dug, and he was involved in other ventures at the time. This was, of course, his main venture, his main business. And I think he really didn't want to accept the fact that it wasn't there. It was just maybe over here or over there or deeper, or he tried all sorts of things, and it just... he wasn't going to give up. But it's funny because I have spoken since with his descendants. He spent about $600,000-$700,000 at the time, which was most of his fortune.
That's a lot of money at that time.
He didn't die penniless, but darn near. He lost the mansion he had built. And they said, well, it's funny. We could be living like kings, perhaps, if he had never stumbled across this person in Tucson who turned him onto the crater. But they said, the way it turned out, it's not so much the money that matters to us. It's the legacy. And Meteor Crater is still run by the Beringer Crater Company. It's a science destination.
So you mentioned that his descendants were almost more concerned about his legacy than the amount of money he spent on it. But I would imagine that the investment, while it almost bankrupted him, I would imagine it's doing pretty well for the family if they're getting some of the proceeds from all the visitors going there and, T-shirts and all that other stuff that's being sold there, right?
They're doing well. It's enough that they do plow all the money back into the study. There's a board of directors family members are scattered all over the U.S. Most of them are still on the East Coast. But at least once a year, the board gets together with whomever can come with them. They'll stay at Flagstaff for two or three nights, and they'll all gather at Meteor Crater for the family photos and the stories. They can peer through the telescopes because the remnants of Beringer's very first shaft are still plainly visible at the bottom of the crater. So it's still a very meaningful place for the family. It's almost like their personal mecca. And it's a story now that's in its fourth generation, and it's something that's often told. And they don't try to hide it from the kids. They say, yeah, you know, your great-great-grandpa was rich, and he had this belief he was wrong. But look what we have. Look what we have. You know, any family can have amassed a large fortune. What we have in the northern Arizona desert is something no other family has.
And given that, is it safe to say that there are no plans to change the ownership structure, that they're looking to get out of the Meteor Crater business?
None whatsoever. They want to preserve it for generations to come.
All right. Scott Craven is a features reporter with the Arizona Republic and AZ Central. He's written about the history of Meteor Crater and the ownership structure of it. Scott, thanks a lot for coming in.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.